you look at the world with like a different set of glasses, whatever the opposite of rose tinted glasses is. I don't know, broken shards of glass. Sand in your eyes? Sand in your eyes, glasses. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure, 20 years or older, that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, Brian Ross. And to my right,
I am your dark brooding XX straight edge Mr. Miller.
Okay. He's everything in that description. I'm not kidding. He actually has business cards. So it's also February. So you know what that means? Oh, yeah. It's Patreon Appreciation Month. So that means every week this month, which was starting this week with this pick, we're going to pick from the Patreon pool, which is exclusive to our Patreon, which you can catch at patreon.com/supergarbageday. Also, if you want to look it up in their search engine, I realize why we weren't coming up. Don't put spaces in.
Oh, it's all one word.
All one word. Super Garbage Day. So also will be in the show notes. If you want. Oh, I'm sorry. For $2, you can get access to all of our Patreon exclusive shows, episodes. It's kind of a grab bag of different retro stuff. It's cool. It's fun.
We'll have deep cuts.
Yeah. The deep cuts, retro deep cuts.
B-sides.
That's only $2. But for $5, you also get all of that. Plus every month you can put a game 20 years or older that it doesn't matter if we played it or not into the Patreon pool, which will be pulled from. And then whole ass episode will be. Will be
dedicated to your pick.
Dedicated to your pick. So we have a Twitch, twitch.tv/supergarbageday, all one word, where the first impression videos will be for the games chosen that week. So you can come and say hi and make fun of me. We have a YouTube under the same name. That's kind of where I put those first impression videos and just older episodes. If you like to listen to podcasts on YouTube, which I'm okay with because I do that myself sometimes. I have the YouTube premium account, which
totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
I was a naysayer.
It's the only thing I don't even have a Netflix account. That YouTube premium, like, by the way, not sponsored.
Yeah, no, just this is,
imagine we were sponsored by YouTube. We'd be doing this from
rolling in dirty money.
We'd be doing this from two Lamborghinis right now. So
God, that would be a podcast. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck You, I'm Rich. But yeah, YouTube Premium. Yeah, it's good. Get it. Why did I go on that tangent?
Plug in that?
I don't know, dude. We need real sponsors. If you need a lawyer, check out Charlie Feinstein. Who don't know what that is.
Oh, I couldn't believe I hadn't seen that before. It's so funny.
Link in the show notes. So, oh boy.
Oh, you made me pig snort.
Pig snort. Oh. Also, our Instagram has acquired even more followers. If you're hearing us from Instagram, welcome. Thank you for following us. If anybody wants free stickers of our logo, just hit me up on the DMs and Instagram. It's the best way to reach out to me. I'll send you some free stickers. Why not? Who doesn't love free stickers?
Free stuff.
Yeah. And they're cool. They're vinyl. They're well made. They can survive all of the labors of Father Time and Mother Nature.
I don't know so, where you were going with that.
I got it, though. I got there.
Yeah, pulling it back.
Oof, we're good. Okay, with all that out of the way, also, please, Leo, hold on, not yet. Also, we would love reviews. So if you like our show, leave us a 5-star review on whatever you listen to. It really helps us reach other people's ears in the retro community, and that's what we are about. So, and we did receive some reviews, and I appreciate it. I Miss the 90s left us a great review on Apple, which I don't have in front of me, so I look super unprepared. But and I Miss the 90s has a great YouTube channel, so check him out. Might be a possible crossover episode coming up between us and that retro content creator, so that might be in the works. All right. Gosh diddly darn it, here we are. Retro question of the week. All right, this one comes from Grandmaster Flapjacks. I think that's the other B. Ross.
Okay.
The other Brian Ross, the Kansas City Brian Ross, who is a real person. I swear to God. All right. So that's a good question. I'm not even prepared for this one. You walk into a dope arcade bar with a wide selection. Which cabinet are you putting your quarters in first?
I'm a big fan of bullet hell games.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm probably looking for like 1943 or something like that. So probably looking for like 1943 or something of the equivalent. I just love those games, and they're not in every arcade.
That's true. Our local one does.
Yeah, we yeah. did. I don't know if Level Up still has it. Nah,
did
it?
He also sells them. So
yeah, because yeah. that was one of the ones that I finished.
Yeah.
I had the high score for a while, but then, you know, he turns the machines off and on, and then they get reset.
Yeah. But that's just wow, the life wow. of the arcade, man. It's a real life.
He needs to get a scoreboard like they have at Ground Control up in Portland.
When I worked there, at this place we're talking about, because I worked there for a while, I pitched that idea, and he just was not about it. Couldn't care less.
See, that's lame.
He just wants the quarters.
I know. He doesn't care about the user.
Yeah. He's a great guy, though. I'm not saying that he's terrible. He's just a businessman.
The scumbag. Yeah, no, he's looking great. At the bottom dollar. He's not. But I think it would encourage more use on some of these machines if there was a way to maintain that high score.
Yeah. He's also like a dear friend, so I'm not trying to throw him under the bus.
Like, I need to go back and retake my title on the Terminator Salvation Machine.
Dude, that thing is huge. That thing's beefy. And loud, I remember.
Yeah.
And people always drop those on the ground.
That's why they don't work anymore.
I know.
The haptic feedback is gone, and I hate it.
You got to have haptic feedback.
It makes me feel like I'm right back in the field. It's the baka, man.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I really think deep down the government is trying to get robot. No, I'm kidding. it's not a Terminator 2 reference. I thought, because I have multiple answers here. So one game in particular that is very dear to me and I'm really good at is Konami's Track and Field.
Oh, okay.
Because I owned one.
Yeah.
So I owned an actual arcade. I think I've talked about this before in past episodes. And that was my sharking game. That's the game I would shark people at, because, you know, they're not going to think that, you know, some tall, goofy guy is going to like be good at this game. But my other, I'm not going to say first, second, and third, but honestly, if I go into an arcade bar, I'm looking at their pinball selection first.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of pinball games I want to play or that I really like. Third, though, Point Blank, man.
Point Blank.
That game was a shooting game.
Uh-huh.
God, it had the best haptic feedback. Is it haptic?
Haptic.
Haptic. Dude, yeah, it was so nice when you fired.
That sounds familiar, but I'm not like.
So it was a game where it's like a shooting game. Consider it like a gallery shooting game. And you're these goofy characters that look like the Terrence and Philip from
okay.
like that kind of style. And you just randomly are chosen these mini games. It's almost like a shooting game version of WarioWare.
Oh,
but man,
but it had a big, the
guns were so nice, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like pretty much Desert Eagle. See, and they're heavy.
That would be dope. If on when
you shoot, they you know, they retract.
Oh, the slide actually works? The
slide shoots back, and it actually kicks your wrist. Dude, this is the best.
That would be dope on, like, Time Crisis. That's right. Another game that I would be.
I don't know if they wouldn't allow that because it's just too realistic, you know, like shooting people. Like, they're like, yeah, whatever. You're shooting balloons and meteors.
I do love Time Crisis, too.
Time Crisis is cool, but you got to, like, when I have to, like, start stomping, my foot's involved, I'm out. That's why I don't play racing games, arcade games. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to involve my feet, man. It's already, you're going to get me sitting down and shifting.
But you are a lot taller than I am, so.
Yeah, I think I never really considered that's probably why I don't like racing games.
Like, I bet the seats don't even adjust enough for you to be comfortable.
They don't adjust usually at all, yeah, unless they're newer.
I know, like the old, like Need for Speed and Cruising USA, that one would slide back if it was one of the nicer ones. I've only played the
standing Cruising USA. I didn't know there was like a seat or a chair one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You'd find them a lot at like pizza parlors and stuff.
Oh, yeah. With crazy taxi. Crazy Nazi. That game's not good.
That's a whole different game.
Yeah, that's not a good game. Yes, there you go. There's your answers. That's a great question. If you want to leave a retro question of the week, join our Discord. It's free. The link will be in the show notes. There's a section there called Retro Question of the Week, and just fire away. I don't care. Leave 100 questions. We're going to randomly choose them every week, and we will give you our answers. Best to our knowledge. It's not even a real sentence. All right. Let's get into this game of the week. No, woo! I'm not doing that. I'm going to redo that one. That one's came out like Scooby-Doo having an orgasm. Ruby, Ruby, Oh, Raffney. Oh, my God. I'm not leaving this in.
Raggy, what's happening to me?
How dare I put our category as family friendly on all the podcast directories? They're like, oh, this one's nice. Let's check it out. Okay. Oh, which we're going. We always go off the rails at some point. All right. Let's get into this Patreon from Julia. Yes, Julia. Julia's game. She's lucky. Hers got picked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If people don't know, Julia is my partner. But to be fair, she was. We were picking a game out of a 7 games, so she got lucky. The game this week is American McGee's Alice.
Yeah!
American McGee's Alice is a 2000 third-person action-adventure video game developed by Rogue Entertainment under the direction of designer American McGee and published by Electronic Arts under the EA Games banner. The game...
This was before the fall.
I know. I really liked EA before they... It was a CEO who did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This game was originally released for personal computers running Windows and Mac, which you didn't
see. One of the rare
Mac titles. Didn't see happen very often in 2000, so that's cool. The game's premise is based on the Lewis Carroll novels, both novels, Alice Adventures in Wonderland from 1865 and Through the Looking Glass, 1871, but presents a gloomy, cruel, and violent version of the setting.
There's a lot of mental health issues going on in this game.
Oh, boy. This game is something else.
My intro, why my black heart is coming through.
Yes.
Break out the eyeliner and the combat boots, boys. We're going back to Hot Topic.
they actually already knew you just had a dark heart. So they're like, well, we know
you're dead inside.
All right. Well, I guess let's just jump into first impressions. So my first impression, which you can see on YouTube, I'm going to upload it this week, or you can see it live on Twitch every Wednesday about 4 p.m. ish Pacific Standard Time. I will be streaming the first impressions. Twitch.tv/SuperGarbageDay. Okay. Very intense intro movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The story, this is a different take on the source material. But I still feel it's one of those things where it's a different take, but it's still very, it's very
the continuation
loyal.
Of the source material.
Yeah.
Because it's after she returns yes. from the Looking Glass.
Yes. And also, but also its own thing, right? Like
it's
not an official like Lewis Carroll canon.
Well, I mean, the angry Scottish man that's mad at math can only write so much. He's very long dead now.
Yeah. It's, very intense, to not give too many spoilers away, but I guess everybody knows the book and the characters. There's really no like big spoilers in this. It kind of is. So Alice's family dies in a fire and she survives and she ends up in a mental ward where she is tormented by the experience. And then the game begins practically inside her head. And so it's right from... right from the holster, it's already dark.
Oh yeah, it's very dark.
Very dark. It lets you know up front what's going on. I would actually say that this game surprised me on its level of intensity in comparison to like when I first played something like the first Silent Hill.
Because
this game does it like extremely in your face right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also doing it with like these characters you're kind of familiar with. Like I said, I didn't know about this game.
But they're all twisted.
Yeah. Yes, but it's not done in a corny way. Well, I'll get to that. My biggest first impression was the sound design and the voice acting was superb.
It's very good.
Superb.
Yeah, top tier.
And then visually, I thought it was stunning for its time. To think that this game was probably being developed and closely released within the same time as that game Outcast that we
I mean, that was reviewed? 98, 99.
This is 2000.
So it's showing leaps and bounds.
Man, if it was only a year.
It also helps that Rogue Studios is a branch of id.
Right.
So and they were able to use the Quake 3 engine and
this is a showcase of
the arena, Quake Arena and all that. Like you could tell it's a id game.
And you know what? These early 2000s, late 90s, like third person games that are 3D, they always add a little bit of claustrophobia, I think, to the game. So like these horror genres, I think, really thrive under this engine.
You feel trapped.
Yeah. Because if it's like a big adventure game, it's all happy or whatever. That just seems limiting, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, it's a ripoff. But when it's like horror, it works really well because mm-hmm. you're already feeling. And this theme is perfect for this engine. So controls seemed bad.
They're pretty jank.
So that were my first impressions. What did you think?
I've already experienced this game before, but I was very excited to revisit it. Pretty much every girl that I had been interested in or dated in high school played this game. And so it was one of those, like, I've been there and was ready to get back into it. It's got that edgy aesthetic, very much like early goth, like 2000s goth, I'm saying.
Oh yeah. The best
with, you know,
kind of goth.
Even the Cheshire Cat is all tatted up and he's got ear piercings and which, you know, it's fun, but really it's getting back into that story.
Yeah.
Because it is definitely one of those, if you have troubles with like trigger warnings, if you have troubles with like suicide or depression or you know, guilt syndrome, stuff like that, this game's gonna be in your face about
the
it.
The word I would use is trauma.
Yeah.
So I think there was a very heavy overtones and not undertones of of trauma here. That works.
Yeah, it's not corny about it either. No. It handles it in a very intelligent and tasteful way.
I was very surprised at that. On the surface, this looks very hot topic-y, mm-hmm. like you spoke earlier about. And it doesn't. It's not corny.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot smarter than it right. needs itself to be.
I mean, I think that's, like I said, I can't overstate. I think a lot of that's due to the sound design and the voice acting. If you were to make both of those things mediocre, that totally is a mortal blow to this game.
Mm. It helps also that the main character is not like, they're never sexualized in any way.
Right.
It's like, it's just, you're just presented with
definitely nothing in the game is sexualized.
Well, I mean, it was a problem of the era where we talked about Blood Rain. Yeah. Which comes what, 2-3 years later?
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah, so we're, you know, right there on the, you know, we're about to just have.
We were already physics, in it,
yeah, but we were, I mean, Tomb Raider.
Right.
Came Tomb out Raider in 97.
Yeah. We call that era the Jackass era because that's the best way I can sum up, you know, the machoism and then like the sexism and the craziness. I'm not saying like Jackass was a sexist thing, but it definitely summed up how every guy was back then and what the media was all about. And so to me, I think like MTV Spring Break and fucking Jackass.
Correct. Jackass, Jackass, Jackass.
I know. At least I can get away with saying that, but now I got to edit out a bunch of those cuss words. yeah, no, that's right. Exactly how I felt. So,
but I mean, we'll talk about it in the controls section.
Well, let's do it right now.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Let's talk about gameplay.
So it is janky, but it's one of those, once you get in it and you've embraced the jank, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
You just have to know how the game's going to work, because there are definitely some sections where the climbing mechanics are weird, especially on ledges. Buttons that you think should do something don't. Climbing vines, you have to take your hand off of the mouse to hit the enter key.
Oh, I played it with a controller.
Okay, see, I played it with. But
I also played it with the mouse keyboard after My girlfriend gave me crap about it. So
yeah, I mean, because
I stopped telling her about my opinion on the game. So I was like, nope, because you love this game. This is your selection. So
yeah, checks out.
Checks out.
But I actually, you know, as far as like the combat goes, platforming is the most difficult part of the game, I think.
Yeah.
The combat, just as a disclaimer too, I played this on the nightmare difficulty.
Really?
Because that's what I do. I just go to the hardest difficulty. Holy from the moly. Beginning. Ghosts and Goblins defeated me, but these type of games, I'm just like, let's go.
There's no Ghosts and Goblins is just like start you on nightmare.
Yeah, but
like, there's no other option.
But yeah, this is I like these style of games where it's like I said, I like bullet hell games too, though. So
right. You know,
dipping and dodging through
it feels good.
The stuff, yeah, it feels good. And I also like the just bring the baka, where I'm just throwing as much bullets down range. Like,
I love your term for shooting is baka 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 baka. It works.
But yeah, the weapons are fun. You go through. You start with just a big knife.
No, it's a knife.
A knife.
Yeah.
That's the, it is a knife.
When it's big, it becomes a knife.
It is a knife. Yeah. Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a knife.
He would. It is a knife.
That's a knife.
Yeah.
I feel like we just cursed ourselves to choose Bayou Billy now. If that gets chosen, I swear to God that's happening by random.
But each weapon has a default and a special.
I like that. No, I kind of considered it like a standard and a heavy attack. That's what it felt like.
With the knife, it's a swipe, and then you can throw it. Yeah.
I loved that.
And then it just materializes back in your hand.
But you got to wait, though. There's a little buffer. There's a cooldown.
But it comes in very handy in a section I like to call Alice's Vietnam.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
But then you also have a deck of cards that you can either throw.
That was my favorite weapon.
Or do a shotgun burst.
That was my favorite weapon until I found a weapon you're probably going to state here.
The croquet mallet?
Nope.
I love the croquet mallet.
Wasn't that one, but the cards were my favorite until I found something later, but I won't ruin it.
Then there's the dice.
Yeah, those are...
Which, the dice are interesting.
I'll stay quiet. Continue. And then, I have some words about the dice.
There is a sword that shoots ice.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite?
Oh, yeah. That thing's OP, dude.
And then there is a mallet, which I haven't gotten to yet because I'm about halfway through the game.
Another mallet?
There's a big mallet, like a big hammer.
I didn't complete the game, but I feel like we may have gotten to the same area.
If you got the ice sword,
then I did.
Yeah, you're close to getting.
I got past. I went further.
Yeah,
I got to Looking Glass. So
okay.
So I got to the chess area.
Okay. So yeah, you're just ahead of me then.
Okay.
And then there is the Jack in the Box.
Oh, I hated that thing.
It's so useful in Alice's Vietnam. Yeah.
Yes. Alice's Vietnam would also be like the worst name for a food cart.
Right.
But
that's the section just before you get the sword.
Okay.
Where it's
like the green.
Where you're just in the, you know, you're floating on the leaves down
the river,
and there's all those all the bugs
floating with, on a re- with
all
leaf.
All the ants with guns and
they had like colonial uniforms, right?
Yeah, they did. But I just you know, with the helicopter sound of the ladybugs dropping bombs on me. But they were
like biomechanical ladybugs.
Yeah, but it sounds like helicopters, and you're in the jungle. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and
then
you get to a later section where there's just like. Giant man-eating plants and it's just everything's on fire, it looks
now
like.
I want to see a video of everything you described as a montage but set to like CCR's Fortunate Son.
That's what I was singing the entire time because I'm over here just I'm just throwing jack-in-the-boxes as napalm some bombs just throwing knives at the helicopters, bringing them down, feeling like goddamn Rambo.
Oh wow, it totally adds up now. Yeah, yeah. That's a great analogy.
Yeah, but the whole time I'm just like,
I liked that level.
It's fun, especially when, you know, just there's fire everywhere and
it's and totally Vietnam.
When you associated that, all of a sudden you hear tuk 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 tuk, and you're like, get down!
All the time.
Yeah.
Or the clock of the rabbit.
Uh-huh.
That you're like, kind of, at some point you're like, okay, I need to listen to this.
Yeah, my roommate came in, I was just like, Charlie's at the trees! Just like, Vietnam. But I'm just like, are you playing Alice?
Oh, like, God. You could show anybody any point in this game and they'd be like, are you, what is this? Just well, he knew what it was, though.
Cutting cards in half, blood gushing all out of them.
That's cool, though. I appreciate stuff like that. I don't know if I'm just morbid, but I'm a Mortal Kombat kid. So, you know, when that came out, I was like, this is the best. You know, anything your parents told you you couldn't watch or play always became the thing you got obsessed with
the
later.
The thing I have to play.
Like, they were like, Exorcist is not allowed in the house and you can't play Mortal Kombat.
Next thing you know, it's just Tubular Bells and Mortal Kombat at the same time.
Yes, Tubular Bells is what comes to mind.
That's the theme song.
I
know.
Trust me. Okay. I am very familiar with Tubular Bells, Mr. Miller. Julia can tell you.
Just making sure. Just for everyone out there who didn't know.
It is. And if you have a jukebox at your local bar that is Sound Choice.
Oh, yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, it's 2 credits, which I think is $1, and it's 28 minutes of the Exorcist theme.
Hell yeah.
And I've given them a lot of royalties.
Fast pass that. It's only 3 credits, and then you can just make it play immediately.
Oh, yeah. But you can skip it if you're a bartender that sucks.
Yeah, well, you can just queue it up again.
Yeah.
From your phone.
Just load up Tubular Bells.
From a different state.
This is like Project Mayhem.
Yep.
Kind of.
Yeah. Oh, I used to terrorize bartenders all the time at the Black Forest.
Oh, good.
But I'd be like,
we like all those people.
I know, but it was like, job. I was just like, who was working today? Hey, now. They're awesome.
Oh, no. I smelt them. Smouthed them.
Yeah, it happened to me all the time, too. So it's fair.
Yeah. Well, I'm immune to it because I was the biggest like jukebox troll. All right.
Anyways, we got off rails.
We always get off the rails. We live in the weeds. So. Okay, so here's the gameplay. My opinion on this. This game is like platform heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's developed and designed to be 90% platforming, 10% like cutscene story, which is good. I really enjoyed the production value in this game as far as like the storytelling, the atmosphere, the sound design. I can't praise it enough. But if you're going to make a game that relies on platforming and combat to be the majority of it, you got to kind of nail that down. And they did not. They didn't at all. I get it.
Mm.
I understand why. But if you watch, I'll have to upload the whole video, but I streamed it again, playing this game again, or just continued my playthrough. You can tell on my second stream, I was getting so frustrated because this game made some like crucial mistakes in, as far as I'm concerned in game design when it comes to controls. One being is like I literally hit walls all the time that should have been easily described to me. So, for instance, there is a section where actually a majority of it was like in the school with the second grade, first grade.
Third
grade.
Yeah.
Like this, that weird like library schools, which I think is like the second level, technically the first.
It's like the fifth level.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Cause it's the second section.
Damn, I'll speed run.
Well, apparently. It's the second section.
Yeah.
But
second section. We'll just go with but section.
That's the end of the second section.
Okay.
So
that makes sense. It just felt to me like the second level. Which also leads me a little bit of the complaint I have with the pacing of the game. It's like, you don't really, the pacing is kind of a mess. Things are thrown at you all the time randomly and things are switched up kind of often. Which is okay. It plays a little bit into the lore that it's,
like, I was just about to say, it's very Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. But it's not particularly done well as far as like transferring, the atmosphere and the way it looks and the energy to the gameplay. I feel like this game was made by somebody who doesn't make games, but is an incredible artist, right? And has a visionary and like has a great, like, this is a passion
project. I think project. You just described American McGee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Passion project.
Yeah.
100%. Absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I respect the heck out of this game. But there's definitely, you can see where the weakest link was. And I think that was in mechanics. So in the sense of jumping is god awful. Some of the worst for a game that looks this good. Let me just put it that way. Not worst in general, but for a game and presentation that is so good, the jumping mechanics are awful. And I played it on a controller at first. gives you that option, which is awesome. That must have come with the re-release. And then my girlfriend got all mad at me. She's like, because I complained about the joint. She's like, well, it's made for a keyboard. And I'm like, that's a valid point. Mm-hmm. I will. It was worse. So
it's funny because I did not have the problems that you're describing.
Well, you see, but I'm a platformer person, right? So I think I'm being biased and being subjective in the sense of like, I need tight controls for something that requires a lot of platforming and tight areas.
Were you using the reticle?
Yeah. Oh, for the feet?
Yeah.
No.
That's your problem.
But why? Why does that exist? Let's talk about this.
It's
I hated that concept. That doesn't need to exist.
It's to tell you what you can and can't get to.
How many other games need that reticle?
Not many.
That are platform heavy.
I understand you're right, but
I'm just saying that's what it was there for.
But
that implementation was unnecessary. I feel like that resource could have been utilized better in just like tightening up. Like, and it's not just the jumping, and it's not just because it's like the weird thing where like you can jump either diagonally or like straight, but it's not like you don't have a lot of freedom once you leave that ground. Like it kind of almost feels, and then in some cases when you land, you slip a little bit, and it was just very.
Well, there are some surfaces, and they're not distinctly. Not
the ice level, but
yeah. I mean, even in the other areas, there are some surfaces that they're not distinctly said have a little bit of slide to them.
Right. Well, nothing is explained to you, and that's another problem I had with the gameplay, was that there were times that they were very. I kept stating in my stream that this game makes me feel stupid sometimes, unintentionally and intentionally. The unintentionally. Is because it would say, oh, here you've I need this item. For instance, the poppy blooms.
Oh yeah.
So you get to a point where you beat whatever's happening in this room, and the little elf guy with the great voice work, because the voice work is so good, says like, oh, we just need the poppy blooms.
It will be okay.
And everything will be okay. And I'm like, cool, I know where those are because I've already been there. I know there's a room that has you poppy didn't blooms.
Grab the big up.
Run straight there. Nothing indicates to me that I'm supposed to grab the whatever, like just little indicators would save me. And it happened with me climbing the freaking ropes, as I thought nothing says, hey, you can hit this button or swing. This keystroke to go up and down.
Oh yeah.
I'm sitting there swinging back and forth thinking I have to swing for like 15 minutes, missing, falling down, jumping back on. And then I randomly hit a button and I see she climbs up. I'm like, okay, I feel stupid, but should I feel stupid? Small little quality of life.
To be fair, you didn't have the manual. This game came with a manual.
Okay, that is fair.
And so that is a very fair point. If you would have picked this up when it came out, you would have opened the box, pulled the manual out, and read that thing cover to cover like we always did.
Yeah.
And then you would have known, oh, this is how I move up and down, because it would have had a little indicator. I mean, this is before the hand holding.
No. Half-Life 1, man.
Half-Life 1.
Yeah. Tells you everything.
Well, that's true.
It's a masterpiece. I get that. But like, you know, Half-Life 1 came out years prior to this, and it.
But not every game did.
I know. But I'm not. You're right, though. You're right about the manual thing. That's a user error on my part. But it's frustrating for somebody who's.
It is bad design.
And perhaps I'm used to that. Like, hey, hit A to do this and that. Like when it's introduced to you. But it made me exceptionally frustrated because. Most of the time it led to instant death. And then like, oh, well, there's you have to save. There's auto saves. Oh,
that's the.
Yeah. And the beginning of the levels. But if you don't.
This brought me right back to any time I did anything.
Right.
Save file.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got there, too.
Yeah.
Which also I'm like, well, that's kind of I wish they didn't allow that, because then it makes the game almost too easy. Like you can literally save in between hitting a boss. You know, like don't give them too much freedom. Mm. That's why I kind of go back to saying that the game was not made by game makers.
But you can also do the age old where you just screwed yourself and you have to go back to an old save file.
Oh,
because
yeah.
like you oh, yeah. save you and you have a lock. Sliver of health and you're like,
and well, you get killed.
I got to go right back. Or I just got to Dark Souls this.
Oh, yeah, just
which I did at one point where I was like, all right, I just got to get good. Yeah.
And that's okay too, but you can soft lock yourself in this game. Mm-hmm. So, but not technically, because you can have multiple save files and it auto saves. So I don't think that's really possible. But I was frustrated with a lot of those quality of life adjustments, only because I knew games prior to it did that. But I didn't really make me dislike the game, because, like I said, this game is made from an artist's is not made from a developer. I think you can see that when you play it. It's made from somebody who's trying to show you something and trying to immerse you.
It's definitely meant to be played on like easy, just to get the story. Right.
Cause the story's great, you know, or like the twistedness of the story, or like what they take with the source material and what they create from it is like awesome. Matter of fact, I kind of wish, well, I guess we should get into graphics and audio, right? So graphics and audio, this is by far my favorite portrayal of Alice.
I think for sure
across all mediums. I'm not the biggest Alice in Wonderland. Well, I'm not gonna say I'm not a big fan, but I'm not as big as a fan as my partner, because she's loves Alice in Wonderland. She has an entire sleeve
dedicated to it
from her knuckles all the way up to her chest. That is the original artwork from the original published book. So, yeah, definitely. But as far as my concern is, like, I've read the book, I've played this game, I've seen the Disney version, and I've seen like the god awful,
the bad Johnny Depp one.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I don't know what the anyways, this blew that out of the water, by the way. Like, this is what, how to have seen this, right? Like, the director, why his name escaped me?
Tim Burton. How do you not do this? Yeah.
It's laid out in front of you, and it's Creative Commons.
Yep.
You could have just completely got away.
He could have just been Tim Burton brings you American McGee's Alice
portrayal of,
and it would have been the best movie that he's done, probably.
Portrayal of Lewis Carroll.
Yeah.
It's like seven.
How many titles do we have in here?
7 degrees of what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is my favorite portrayal, because I feel like that character, I think most of it's due to the voice work, but it's a troubled person, but strong willing, but shows like weakness, but also is just like won't give up. And it's just a cool version of Alice. It doesn't go overboard trying to be too edgy. You know,
at least once you get into it, because outwardly facing is just like, oh, this is an edgelord's edgiest edgy game.
Until you like, you get 5 minutes in it and you're like, okay, never mind.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, there's,
cause if you just look at the box artwork, it's just like, oh, you got a, you know, gothy Alice with a saber behind her back with blood all over.
I think that like the blue, you know, like the dress is still there. It's just got a little bit of blood. It's got some, I also noticed that the symbols on her,
it's got occult symbols on it.
Well, no, I don't think they're occult. Some of them are, but like, some of them are astrological. So,
which is occult.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah. So,
that's fair.
It's there. It's like that cutesy goth.
Yes. And it works.
But you know, she's got the dark eye makeup and the sunken eye, like very pale. It's very much that aesthetic.
Yeah. But it also might be a representation of a little girl that's in an insane asylum.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, she's definitely in her teens now.
Yeah. Which I think is cool.
Because it is after the Looking Glass, so she's got to be like 16 or something.
And they do make references in this game about like the past and mm-hmm. how the world has changed because of what's happening to her, mm-hmm. which I think is way cool. But not what's happening to her, but like, yeah, the fact that they kind of cite that, like something, the stories have happened in the past. Kind of. It's not completely canon, but I also want to say this is the best voice acting I think I've ever heard on a game that we've reviewed so far in the show, and probably top 10 of all time.
You mean Urukai wasn't your favorite?
You know what? It's a close 500th. Yeah. Urukai.
But yes, easy win.
Unbelievably good. Like, I mean, it carries the game in my eyes. Like, it's hard to not like this game just based off not just the voice work, but the composition, the music is so good.
Every area fits.
And it's creepy, and there's layers to like the ambience, and you'll hear random screams from kids. Uh-huh. Like, oh my God. Like,
you get the weird giggles, and then there's the screaming.
And it's not in your face. It's done so subtly that's like it's like, whoa, this is good.
It's interesting too, because if you hit the pause menu and just sit there for a while, it's different per area you're in.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's just subtly different. See, depending
that's
kind of
little. That's, I'm telling you, it's an artist game. Mm-hmm. It's a game made from an artist. Like that if he just had a little bit of a better dev team, not the Outcast dev team, but like I mean, it could have just been. Well,
again, Outkast also had a banger soundtrack.
It did, yeah. And the voice acting was okay. Yeah. So maybe this is just thematic.
That era, they were trying to, they were still trying to hammer out the, everybody was still figuring out that 3D.
Well, at that point, they were like, okay, now the graphics look good. Mm-hmm. So let's just focus on like the sound because everything's CD based now.
Right.
Yeah. But it's that. It's fantastic. The, like I just said, the sound effects are eerie. They're haunting. The score is haunting. Perfect for what's going on. But also kind of still allots a little bit of like a playfulness. It's just like perfect. Like perfect for the subject matter. The Looking Glass level I thought was gorgeous. You haven't got there yet?
I haven't at this playthrough, so I have a faint memory of it.
Yeah.
But I
it's way cool. It's like a chessboard, and then you have to play as a chess piece.
Yeah.
And you actually have to follow the rules of chess, which is crazy. I won't go any further into it, but what I thought was really cool is how they use the actual original illustrations in that level and their paintings on the wall. And I recognize them because they're literal tattoos on my partner's arms. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
The little extra add-ins are very well, nice. The love.
Yeah. It's art appreciating art. Mm-hmm. So like the love is there, you know. If you're a person that spent your whole life being an artist or being a storyteller and somebody's like, well, make a platformer. I think this is what happens,
right?
You know, like this is like, it's still good, you know? But then there was a point in this game, that was crazy for me. And it was like, the game is about trauma. There was a scene when you meet the caterpillar and what he was talking about, like kind of like made me stop. And I'm not trying to be like dramatic, but what he said resonated a little bit with me. And I was like, wow, this game is like, it's ideal of taking a story that's about adventure and kind of taking it. And then like, it's like, imagine if Alice in Wonderland was your childhood and it was good. Mm-hmm. And then your adulthood was like rough and crazy. And like, this is that, right? This is that Alice in Wonderland, because there was this sentence. I had to write it down because I was like, oh my God. So at one point you talk to the caterpillar and he says, she says, why do I have to endure so much torment? Mm-hmm. She's crying. And I'm like, the voice acting is so good. And he goes, because your mind is fooled by self-deception. Even your fantasies have fragmented into tortured versions of themselves. And I was like, oh my God, that happens to you.
Yeah.
When you're depressed or you go through trauma. Like even your fantasies become like, are no longer fun.
Yeah, everything's dark and
yeah, you're just cynical. Mm-hmm. You look at the world with like a different set of glasses, whatever the opposite of rose tinted glasses is. I don't know, broken shards of glass. Sand in your eyes? Sand in your eyes glasses. But yeah, that kind of stuck with me. And I was like, wow, I had to like re-listen to that part. I was like, he was like spitting some knowledge. And I was also like relating. I was like, that is kind of what happens. Like, this game's kind of brilliant with the traumatic themes, like, and it really comes through a lot throughout it.
It almost walks through like the stages of grief,
right?
As it goes through, which is, it's on the surface, yeah, doesn't really come through. It's honestly like right here, you're like, oh,
right,
that's what I've been doing.
There's some aha moments in this game that I was not expecting from a game from 2000 that's about Alice in Wonderland. Where I was like, okay, cool. This game is kind of a masterpiece. I get it. Okay. I'm seeing it now. You know, like, I get it. Like, I have my qualms.
It's like, yeah, once you get past the jank.
Yeah. And then you start to understand the controls, then you kind of are driving yourself to see more of the story, which is cool because they kill off characters like out of nowhere are major. And then it's crazy cutscenes. And you're like, what is going on? This is all spiraling out of control. But not in a good way, not in like a sense of like, what are they doing? They don't know what they're doing. But you're like, oh, wow, this is about madness.
Oh, you wait until you get to like the near the end.
Vietnam part two.
If you're going to continue playing it, you wait until near the end because it's it's tragic.
I'm almost more interested in the sequel because I want to see if they tighten
Return to Madness. See it. And I
want to see if they tightened up the controls.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, there's three of these games, right?
Because I only know of two.
Okay.
But I'm apprehensive because the new one is Evil EA.
Oh, okay.
It's 2011 is when the new one came out.
So the sequel?
Madness Returns.
Yeah, and that's also the time they released this on the Xbox 360, right? Because
it came with...
They re-released it. They ported this to the Xbox, right?
There's a remaster that came with Madness Returns, but this never got re-released. This was abandonware at this point.
That's right, yeah. And for everybody listening, this game's free, so...
Yeah.
There are some hurdles to, technical hurdles, but at archive.org, this game is free. You actually can't buy it. That's the funny... Oh, you can technically...
Abandonware.com.
Abandonware.com.
Also has it.
That install didn't work well for me. I had to go to the archive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had problems with that install, but yeah. So if you so that's another that actually clearly scores points in my
yeah.
If the game is free, then yeah. Well, but yeah. So do you have anything to add to graphics and audio? From
not really. Yeah. I mean, the effects are good. Like we said, the score. It was. People from Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Well, that one thing is that the my favorite part of this game, and it blew me away, and I it's up there and like just a class of things I love as far as like score, composition, sound design, atmosphere. Chris Vrenna from Nine Inch Nails, who was the drummer, percussionist for Nine Inch Nails, and Marilyn Manson played for both bands, and he played for them when they were at their peak. So yeah. We're talking about a guy that was there for all the Grammys. He composed the soundtrack and oversaw the sound design. So I thought I found out about this after the fact. I was like, this is so good. This is amazing. And also as of 2020, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I feel like,
wow, good for him.
Yeah. Well, makes sense.
Absolutely deserved
sound design. And then he also looked, he oversaw the sound design as well as, he composed all the music. So
Marilyn Manson originally was supposed to do the soundtrack,
but they're like, oh, we got the drummer.
But I actually feel like it would be cheesy.
It'd be worse
if Manson did it, because I feel like he would want to put,
this is more Nine Inch Nails than it is Marilyn Manson.
And, I feel like he would want to put vocalization in it.
Oh yeah. And Nine Inch Nails is more atmospheric and Marilyn Manson is more in your face, like a shock, mm-hmm. So I think it would, who would have known?
But yeah, alternate universe,
alternate. All right, I guess we get to the verdict. All right, what do you think?
I'm giving this one a treasure.
It's a hidden treasure.
This one's not hidden. It's not a treasure. It's
hidden gem.
I don't even know if it was. It's hidden.
We don't have we need a rating scale, man.
Because I feel like, I mean, given as this is a user submitted one,
right?
There are a lot of people who love this game.
Absolutely, I noticed that.
But I definitely, enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm having a good time. I'm probably going to finish it.
Not to interrupt you, but one thing I do with almost all the games, after I play them and I've come up, entirely come to my verdict, but I'm writing it out, is I'll look at what other people thought about it after my experience with it. This game, I didn't see one person. It's just this masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. It's good. You know, and actually it was ranked very high even across the critics. So. Anyways, continue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is in a depressed, gloomy void. It's that shining little red heart gem that you need to keep going.
Dude, that thing what's great too about that? We didn't bring this up, but if your health's all the way up and you get one of those, it also raises all your mana bar.
Yep. Your sanity.
You bar. Don't have our sanity bar.
Yeah. So but it is your mana.
You don't have to get both really. I mean, they have them there, but that's cool.
Yeah. Your health translates into sanity and,
is just probably true about real life,
which is, I mean, it's awesome though too, because those are way more common than the sanity pickups. And we didn't even talk about the demon woman pickup.
Oh yeah. Well, I never used it.
It's so good.
I did use it, but it wasn't,
especially with the croquet
mallet. They never gave you enough of it.
Just go around just crushing skulls.
Oh yeah. You just hit people explode. Yeah. Oh, it was cool. But I also thought it was unnecessary.
Rage
to be honest, I didn't think they needed that.
It was only there if there was going to be a big.
I also didn't like the graphic for that. Like I thought that's when it kind of fell into a little bit of cheese.
I kind of liked it.
It just was okay. Well, we can agree to disagree, and that's okay. So
your verdict.
Well, you're gonna be mad at me, because I'm keeping I might be keeping the game out of the likes of Rampart and all that, but I feel like the game I don't come across many games with this much creative vision. Like, this game is different and something else. Like, it's definitely, I miss games like this. I miss games that were made this way, that are made clearly with passion, that are made with like a passion that you can tell people were getting pissed off about in the development team. Cause you can just tell, like, the, you know, American McGee is like, no, do it like this, because this is how I see it, you know? And then, like, you see, you're like, okay, it makes sense. Probably like Quentin Tarantino-ish or whatever. Stanley Kubrick.
We're
going to take through this 127 times just to get it right. I feel that with this game. Like, the love's there. The passion's there. And it's absolutely, like, it's a beaut and in masterclass and taking, like, source material and putting, like, a dark spin on it. It's beautiful, not just with its aesthetics and its sound, but in its purpose and its storytelling, especially about trauma. The game is about trauma, and you don't get a lot of games about trauma, especially in 2000 when we were sweeping that under the rug. Man, people were not talking, men were not talking about being depressed. Women were not talking about being traumatized. Well, people were, but it wasn't like on the level it is now. We weren't so aware of it.
Everything had rose tinted glasses at that point.
Yes. But unfortunately,
even your edge.
Yes. I'm not being edgy. Unfortunately, this game is held back by its extremely frustrating, like, controls and odd pace. The pacing in the game is, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I understand it's a random world, all this crazy stuff's happening, but it really, like, the pacing in the sense of, like, its mechanics are off. There were levels I absolutely loved because the pacing was correct. Here's a prime example. Alice Vietnam.
Yeah.
Good pacing. You're directed where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do, and you only die or you only get stuck in areas because of your own, I don't know, for lack of a better word, ignorance. The school level, completely lost half the time, not sure what you're supposed to do. You're not really led any direction. When the game became more open worldness, it lost its way and it became frustrating. And I got mad a lot to the point where I wanted to stop playing sometimes. Even though I push myself through because I want to see the rest of it. I like their version of what they've done with Alice. But I'm just going to say, I recommend this game. I like this game. It's free.
Bonus points.
But it's not a hidden gem. And it's not fair. It's not a treasure in my eyes. I think it's a good game.
Fair.
And but that pushed me because of its strengths. It pushes me to see this, want to play the sequel. So that is a good sign, but I'm not giving it the top.
That's fair.
And only because the gameplay has glaring issues. I can't in good faith be like, well, everything else is so much better when it's gotta be a complete package, you know, like it's gotta be a Rampart, a Tomba, you know, like where it's hard to find the flaws.
Yeah.
This has glaring flaws and it breaks my heart to say that, to be honest, but also this is a prime game to be remade, man.
Oh,
imagine.
This is just asking to have just a little
everything,
a there. Little tuning.
EA is holding this hostage. That's why it's Abandonware. They just gave this, just hand it off to somebody right now, one of these studios, and be like, just remake this. You have everything there. Use the same voice actors. This thing would be a top.
I mean, 10. You don't even have to change the voice acting or anything. You just got to.
Yeah, keep the same voice.
Just tune the controls.
Just make everything. No, just redo everything. Like a PS5, Xbox One.
Oh, I mean, if they had a graphical update.
Oh, you just do everything.
It would blow everyone out of the water.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It would be in the video game awards, like Game of the Year awards for sure. But I understand it's 2000. I get it. Like the controls weren't. I don't know. Part of me is I don't agree with that when I think about like Tomba and Rampart being. Earlier and like those are really tight controls. Tomba, I think, in my eyes, to be honest right now, I think Tomba is like top of the hill for me.
It's funny because you had such a bit hard time with the controls and I don't see it.
They made sense. They eventually made sense because Tomba is a very layered game.
No, but I mean, like I'm talking about Alice. Like you had such a hard time with the controls and I don't see it.
It's because
it's a little jank, but it's like once you kind of get it.
But it gets so much more frustrating.
Later on, dude.
Like there's levels
that are different mindsets, I guess.
Yeah, and probably different skill sets too. Like I, you might be better at this game than I am, and
we definitely have
too much.
We definitely have different
play styles.
Yeah.
You're also playing the game on a different difficulty. So like perhaps that may have forced you to like actually get accustomed to the controls a lot quicker and like master them. Cause I did notice at one point I was getting good at the controls and, but I still was mad about certain aspects of the game that doesn't matter if you get good or not. It's just like the direction, the pacing, like the direction of the game, like direct me as a person who likes Alice in Wonderland wants to play a game. Like tell me like, hey, here's like do this, but perhaps that's subjective.
This is also a style of game that I play more than you do.
Yeah.
Like you play a lot more.
But Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver is like this game, but swap the controls with the atmosphere and art direction, right? Like Legacy of Kain has great art direction and atmosphere and story, but this story in Alice or American McGee's Alice is like way better.
Yeah, well.
Like if you combine those, that's the game.
Right.
Right. Because the controls are so tight. I guess I'm just used to that, but
you're also used to playing with a controller.
Yeah, but Legacy of Kain came out the same year. So actually, year before. So there's also that. And I had to tell myself to stop comparing, but if I'm putting myself in my shoes in 2000, I'm going to have played Soul Reaver and then play this game and think Soul Reaver's better.
Would you have been a PC gamer or a PlayStation gamer?
I was. I had both.
Okay, just making sure.
And also, it was Dreamcast. I didn't play it.
Oh, you played it on the
Dreamcast. I played it on Dreamcast. The best way to play it, other than PC. But, no, I had both. And I would have definitely thought that Soul Reaver was better. But to be fair, at this point in my life, I would have thought that Alice is a better production.
Yeah.
And I just wish it had the Soul Reaver controls. So that's sorry to break hearts. And yeah, I'm expecting an argument, but she's asked me all day, what'd you think of it? I was like, oh, you just have to listen. Listen to the episode.
All right. Well, so it's a good game.
Well, yes, but
with a glimmer of hope at the end.
Well, I don't know what do we gotta create like a set in stone way to review games, like, or like have a scale. Cause should we just go like do the standard 1 to 10?
I mean, this something? Is the, I, so if we were going to do that, then yeah, we'd probably put that at a 7.5.
Oh, I don't know about that low, like combined.
Yeah.
No, I mean, cause I'm not giving it like a 6. I'm giving it at least an 8.
Okay.
You're giving it like a 10, 9.
I would put it at a like an 8.8.
I say this game hits an 8. Combined,
because it's you know, there's a little bit of jank, but I didn't feel like I had to fight it once I figured it out.
It's not, to me, it's not in the like the gems, man. It's like it's almost there, so it's like right there.
You know? Say like a 9 is a gem,
9 to 10,
yeah,
probably a gem.
But
well, yeah, the 10's like
it's a right there. It's right there.
Masterpiece.
It's great.
Okay. Well, we got to pick a new game.
All right.
Okay, so our game we have to play this week is from a developer called MediaVision, published by HTech again, Ubisoft, and Sony Computer Entertainment. It is from 1996. It is an RPG on the PlayStation 1. Oof. Called Wild Arms.
Wild Arms!
So, strap in. I think this is our first RPG.
Technically.
Like, technically, JRPG. Ooh, so,
yeah.
All right. Wild Arms it is. The game has been chosen. So, we'll see you next week for our review of this PS1. God, we do a lot of PS1 games, don't we? PS, not really.
No,
I guess. Yeah,
we've done quite a few PS2 games. PS2 and placed, or PS2 and PC have been our.
No, Tomba is PS1. Fighter Maker 2 is PS1.
Was Tomba PS1?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
but I think they're even.
No, Fighter Maker 2 is PS2.
You're right. Okay,
because Fighter Maker 1 was on the PlayStation 1.
We just agree to be wrong. All right, step in for Wild Arms, and we will see you next week. Be sure to leave us a good review. If you want free stickers, hit us up on Instagram, and don't judge a book by its grammar.
Patreon Palooza!
Patreon Palooza! Patreon Orgy! Appreciation Orgy! God, I don't want to say that before I say cut to B, but cut to B.
Boo!
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.